BZ Sports Talk Show with Ed Smith and Javon Adams. My name is Javon Adams. You can call me Jay or Jay Love. And that man next to me not only played professional baseball, but he also played in the National Football League for this first Super Bowl-bound team for the Atlanta Falcons. He's an author. He is a public speaker. He's my brother. Ed Smith, what is good, man?
Hey, made it to another Friday, bruh. And, I mean, we got past March Madness. The draft is the only thing to look for as far as football. And that 82-game preseason get ready to come to an end. We get ready to get into some playoff basketball, some regular season basketball.
Yeah, and the season ends on Sunday.
Sunday.
The season ends on Sunday. So, yeah, so we got that play-in tournament, so we'll see how that goes.
Think about this, too. They started back in October, bro. We're getting ready for Halloween. And I mean, think about the seasons we've gone through and the holidays and all the things. And here we are getting ready to – I mean, the season's just ending. Oh, my goodness.
What would be too many football games for you? National football. What would be too many football games for you? Because we're at 17 now. What would be that tipping point for you where you would say this is a slog?
18.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So you almost there.
Yeah. You don't understand. To get through, I remember just trying to get through a 16-game schedule. Then they get 17, and they get, you know, and you start getting into 18, 19, and 20, bro. Yeah. That's, and then throwing those Thursday games in there in the short weeks, and it's just not good for the human body, man. Imagine, Matt J, imagine being in a serious car crash, getting in your car, mm-hmm. no seatbelt on, and driving into a tree or a brick wall at 50 to 60 miles an hour. Think about that, right?
What, 30
airbags
times
deployed.
30 times?
Not just once a week.
Okay.
Just think about the injuries you would sustain, steering wheel all up in your chest, you know, the airbags deploying, you know, all the, you know, fractured wrists. And I'm just saying, we're going to the extreme. But then think about doing it 17 or 18 weeks in a row. And every Sunday, you just got to go. And then on 1 week, you got to do it on Thursday. So you haven't even recuperated from that one. You got to do it on Thursday.
Man.
We'll give you a couple extra days to make it seem like a bye week because you get, you know, the long week off.
Yeah,
but then you're right back at it.
The mini bye or something like that, they call it.
Yeah, but then you're right back at it the following Sunday. You know how reluctant you would be to get in your car? I mean, you'd be like, I'm walking. I'm not driving anywhere.
All right. So speaking of football, just a couple things I wanted to chat with you about today. One is the elephant in the room. So OJ passed away yesterday. OJ Simpson, 76 years old. The first thing that comes to mind, but it don't matter because no matter how old you are, the first thing that comes to mind is that he was on trial for double murder and then got off trial. And I'll get into that in a second. But played USC, and if you haven't watched, if y'all listening and haven't watched that OJ Made in America documentary that came out, I just looked it up, man, 8 years ago, but it is a wonderful documentary. I don't know if you ever watched it, but I was enthralled. It's really good. But played at USC, was a phenomenal running back at USC. Then he goes to the National Football League, and he's playing for Buffalo, kind of almost lost in Buffalo. But he, the first 2,000-yard rushing season, if I'm not mistaken, just ends up playing in San Francisco as well. But, you know, he had a very good, very good pro career, but then morphed and transitioned to being an endorser. He was the one that it was Hurts running through the airport, jumping over stuff. I mean, you know, OJ, when he was coming out, he was an attractive looking man. So he was taking advantage of all that, the suave looks and the debonair stuff. And so he was out there, with the endorsing products. He was also in film. He was in the Naked Gun movies. He was also on the sidelines. He was on Monday Night Football. He ended up being on the sidelines for, I want to say, NBC when they had football. So all these things where he had a reputation, he had an image that was there, and all of a sudden it was taken away. So allegedly he took it away because he, you know, alleged that he did that stuff. But and then he goes on trial for double murder. We have the chase that happened during the NBA finals, that slow chase in the Bronco. You have he gets acquitted. Then he goes to, then years later, he goes to a card show, and he goes and steals back or takes back his own merchandise, goes on trial for that. They get him for that, put him in jail. OJ even has he did come out with a book or something about If I Did It. I mean, OJ, he is, when sometimes when people pass away, you say it's complicated. OJ is just, I think he's just an example of how people are not always one thing. What you think they are is really not what they are. But just your, cause you're, you know, you're a couple years older than me, but did you have a different kind of interaction? Cause the first time I remember OJ was seeing him on the sidelines for NBC or seeing him in those Hertz commercials. That's really how I started to become familiar with him. And then later on, I find out that he was a great player in the NFL and then in college football. But what is your thoughts on OJ?
Well, first off, I mean, we you know, you go back through history. He, in my opinion, he's one of the most complex figures in the history of our country, just on everything that you just said from start to finish. I mean, he started off humble beginnings, the rise through college to the professional ranks as an athlete, and then became one of the faces, one of the first black faces. He was like the first crossover, if you think about it. Yeah. There were athletes before him. Jim Brown was the same position, but wasn't as, like, warm to the public.
Yeah, he was in movies, but he wasn't embraced like OJ was, yeah.
He was on the other side. He was more black power and this and that. OJ was that first crossover where people were like, you know, people of not our color, they actually adopted him. They brought him into their homes, and he was the Jew. He was the juice, you know, that type of thing. And he rose to such fame even after his career, walking the sidelines, you know, doing the commercials, everything like that. And then there was this fall from grace, or at least mystery fall from grace with this murder. And the one thing, there are a few things that strike me about it, Jay. I mean, it grabbed, you know, mid-early 90s, 94, it grabbed our country. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people know I wrote my book, you know, and there are certain things through my book and through my lifetime, you remember where you were when .. happened.
Yeah.
You know, for me, space, the Challenger explosion, when John or Junior Kennedy, when he went down in his plane, 9/11, all these different things, right? Right along that was OJ and the Bronco chase. I remember exactly where I was. A group of my, I was getting off a bus. We were in Charlotte, North Carolina. I was playing minor league baseball, double A ball with the Cubs. We're getting off the bus after a game, going through the lobby, and a whole bunch of us. You got to remember, there's a few of us, some Latin guys, we're all walking through the lobby, and they had the big TV on in the lobby. And all of a sudden, we all stopped and we started looking. Before you knew it, there was 20 of us sitting down watching the Bronco chase in the lobby of the hotel. I remember exactly. Then the next thing, the trial, right?
Yeah.
It brought on everything from court TV to, it was the first trial
that ushered in. That ushered in that court TV type style.
Man, it was like daily coverage. And then you had all the lawyers, the, you know, Johnny Cochran and the Kardashian. And, I mean, he had the dream team and they went. And then on the other side, you had them bumbling fools, you know, try the glove on.
Yeah,
man. If it don't fit, you must have quit. I mean, we went through the whole trial. Then the next thing, see, OJ was two separate events. You remember where you were. The other one was the day of the trial, the verdict. Bruh, I was at the YMCA in New Jersey, off season, getting ready to, you know, start my off season, playing some basketball and everything, out with a whole bunch of people. And this was in a whole little hoity area, right? Someone ran in the gym. They're going to announce the verdict. Dude, me and a whole bunch of other dudes, white, black, all kind of different variations. We go running into this room. And in this room, in this YMCA, you had this side,
you had
that side. Yes. And that's how divisive, because this trial and everything also brought race relations into play.
Yes.
It brought domestic violence into play.
Yes.
I mean, think about all the things that he, so we're all sitting there, right? And all of a sudden, they announced the verdict. And I was in shock because, I don't know, you tell me, you know, seven days out of the week, twice on Sunday, that he was found innocent. I'm like, I don't know about that one. But there were a whole lot of people, a whole lot of our people, that because of race, because of the Jews couldn't do that. It was the divide down the country. I remember when they made the verdict, Jay, I looked up, and there were a whole bunch of white people looking at me like, I killed that woman.
Man.
Seriously. And I mean, it was like, and it was like basketball was over for a day. We all went back into the gym. I got my stuff. And I was like, I can get out of here. I'm just, and let this all soak in. But across the country, you saw people releasing birds and OJ's, you know, free OJ. And on the other side, you know, so when it's all said and done, Jay, this man, and then obviously he gets out, he does his thing, goes back in jail. And people thought he got punished for the wrong thing. You know, they put him in jail for killing his old stuff, but they're trying to get him for killing, you know, Nicole Simpson and Ron Goldman. So the end, I can see he's so controversial. He's all these different things.
And he was throwing it up in your face. He was, he got acquitted, he was throwing it up in your face, man.
You mentioned it, Jay. How are you going to write a book if I did it? This is how I would have done it. I mean, this, you're talking about arrogance. You know, never paid the Goldmans a dime from that trial, from the verdict that they got against him. Yeah. Meanwhile, he's living off his NFL pension and living a life for the most part. And then, like I said, this is another thing, Jay. Everyone, all of us, owe a death. There's no such thing as escaping it. And here we are, at the age of 76, he finally checks out. Not a lot of fanfare. He just recently, I guess, told the public he had cancer. He's gone. And it's like, you have to really think about, wow, how do I feel about that? You know, because he's going, if you believe in God and the devil, there's a chance that he's not in a good place right now, right? And but at the same time, you got to feel for his family, for his, because they didn't kill that man and that woman, their mother, his children, you know, they didn't do it, but they live with the stigma of it their entire life. And then you got the Goldmans on the other side. And, man, he affected so many lives in such a negative way. And he's, like I say, he's such a – you know, I say rest in peace, but a lot of people say rest in hell for the most part as far as
there was some vitriol that was being spouted. You mentioned that verdict. That verdict, that trial, and let me know if you agree or not, it wasn't about OJ. It was about – Black people putting themselves in that position and just saying, just once, we want to get it. We want to be vindicated, whether he did it or not. And I think if any rational person will look at the evidence, I mean, there was some definitely bumbling that was going on, as you mentioned, on the prosecution side. Good Lord. But the point is that we just wanted one for us. Let's just get one in the win column for us. Put a tally mark like that. And so there were at San Jose State, the school newspaper, the day after the verdict, they were there in the student union. And as you mentioned, in the gym where you were, it was us over here, them over there. And the elation from all the Black students. And the shock and dismay on the face and anger on the faces of the white students, it was captured in photo. And that's, and again, it wasn't, I don't think most Black folks even cared about OJ. They knew OJ, but that it's almost like that, what was it, at the end of Malcolm X, I am Malcolm X. They would say, I'm OJ, just for the sense that I was wrongly persecuted. I was wrongly put on trial. They thought that I did it just because I was Black, and that's why. And then as OJ kept talking, and then Black folks just saying, man, can't you just shut up, OJ? Good Lord. You just making it worse. But that was what it was. And I think a lot of folks that had never, those white folks that had never been through that, or even some of the Black folks that maybe they were fortunate enough to never have been pulled over and just been questioned for no reason, they wonder, what's the big deal? But the rest of us were thinking, this is how we get a little bit of respect back. This is a little bit of something back for us.
You know, it was real ironic too, and I don't want to take this in a, you know, the crazy direction, but in a lot of instances, like a lot of times we like as Black people, we forget who we're backing, who we're, you know, OJ. I mean, as far as being Black, the color of his skin was Black. Yes.
Yeah, that man. The famous thing, I'm not Black, I'm OJ.
I'm OJ. Yeah. He lived a life that none of us could understand because he was living in Beverly Hills on the other side of the fence. But when he got in trouble, it was funny. He ran back to his roots. All of a sudden now, you know, he's a Black man being persecuted. But he did not identify with us. But when he was in trouble, he ran back to us. And all the people forgot. That man, I mean, when was the last time he visited a hood or did anything for the community? Or, you know, never. But because of the color of his skin, Black people, that he couldn't have done it, and we're going to back him to the day we die and look stupid and silly, forget all the evidence and everything. But, you know, but I mean, there's so, and that's why I say it was so complex, Jay. I mean, they did movies. People write their theses on this type of, you know, the life of O.J. and the just so many different directions and angles you can hit it from. Uh-huh. And in the end, Jay, the man is gone. He is gone.
Yeah.
And can't hurt anybody anymore. And, you know, like I said, a lot of people, I'm indifferent. A lot of people clapping.
Yeah, I'm indifferent too.
He's gone. A lot of people, some people are sad that he's gone. I'm so indifferent. It's not even funny. I'm like, you know, okay. Either God would now deal with him on the other side. But it's amazing how he affected this country, his trial and all that happened. And here we are 30 years later, you know, we're going to this 30-year anniversary of that summer, you know, with the Bronco chase and stuff like that. Like I said, it's amazing. Amazing how much things have changed and how little they've changed at the same time. Right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He is Ed Smith. I'm Javon Adams. Easy Sports Talk Show with Ed Smith and Javon Adams. So, all right, this is the draft. I think I heard the number is about 14 days away from the NFL draft. And this is around that time of year where you have the time of the pre-draft stuff, where you have all this speculation, man. And we were chopping it up, and this is spurned by something that you heard that, because we're out here in the Phoenix area. So there, where you heard somebody say that the Cardinals should possibly trade Kyler Murray to Washington to get something back from Washington, because to reunite Kyler Murray with Cliff Kingsbury. And it made me think, isn't it irresponsible just from a media standpoint? Because we, from, you know, whatever percentage of we're media to some extent, isn't it irresponsible for media to throw out these really crazy scenarios? Because I hear the stuff when it comes to the NBA too, when it's around that trade deadline or when it's around draft time, and they say, well, what if? And they sometimes preface it by saying, I don't believe this will happen, but what if? You know, this crazy scenario where LeBron James gets traded to the Clippers and the Clippers go when they trade, and these crazy scenarios. What do you think around this time of the season before the draft, where you get all this crazy speculation that might even be coming from some of these teams?
Well, you use a great word of irresponsible. I will throw a second word out there. It's reckless. And what happens, Jay, we go through these news cycles where there's not a lot out there to sink our teeth into. You and I are lucky where we pick and choose. We do the podcast 3 days a week when it fits into our schedule for the most part. But like during the football season, we hit it all 3 days because there's so much out there that we have to nibble on and get our thoughts and opinions on. Yeah. During these spring and summer months, we just saw March Madness is now over, and that's a weekend thing for 3 weeks. Baseball's just started. Opening day is the only day a lot of people care about, and it's like, I'll check back in October. And then the 82-game March is finally coming to an end, and people are like, okay, let's get to the playoffs. We want to find out where the seeding is, and let's get to it, right? So, but meanwhile, 5 days a week, 7 days a week, for some, they're trying to come up with content. And the only thing, we got the draft coming up. And you call it irresponsible. I call it reckless with the things that they will just throw out there to try and generate a story. And sometimes, like you mentioned, it's, well, this probably won't happen, but what if? Or it's like, wait a minute. Or it's one of those things where it's like, okay, I want to be that dude that starts the fire, and I'm going to throw this out there. And then, you know, if it does happen, I look like a genius. And, you know, and I was the first one on that. So there's all these different reasons. And I said to you yesterday, I feel sorry for somebody who's got to generate at this time and come up with something fresh. You know, 5 days a week, you're out there running your mouth, and it's like, what are we going to talk about? They're still talking about Dak and his contract, and you know what the Cowboys are doing. The fact they didn't do anything during the offseason. They're just trying to generate. But I do think it's totally reckless when you take and throw something out there and without any, you know, like retribution. You can just say whatever you want, and if it starts a fire – hey, that's good, because, you know, it's all about clicks and it's about this. But meanwhile, like I said, there's no There's no meat on that bone. There's nothing to it. But, you know, then and people, some people, though, Jay, they list, they watch these wires and see, hear these things, and they first thing they do is they want to be the first one to run to the water cooler at work because they want to be the one, guess what I heard? And, you know, they start the conversation. It's like, well, where did you hear that from and in what context? That's the other thing, context. You know, so, man, I'm telling you, I'm just, you and I are not in the make-believe or make-up, and I'm so glad we're not because, and then, like I said, we, because we're so close to, we have to decipher it a lot of times, and man, you have to be careful what you listen to, because your lying ears, boy, will have you running off and talking about some silly stuff.
Lying ears, I heard that. Trying to ear hustle some stuff when you hear the wrong thing. So so as Ed said, we do this thing three times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Make sure you tell a friend and tell a friend about what we got going on here. You can go to easysportstalk.com, easysportstalk.com, or however you listen to this, make sure you subscribe, all that good stuff. Rate us as high as you can, and subscribe to our YouTube page as well. That's The Easy Sports Talk Show, The Easy Sports Talk Show. And as well as
can I give a shout out? Shout out to my son and my grandbabies and my daughter-in-law up in Utah. I know my son listens all the time, so I just want to give him a quick shout.
Yeah, and we appreciate that. Make sure they make sure you tell a friend, and they tell a friend too. That's how we do it. You can.